You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Craig Forsyth with you to look ahead to the best of Saturday's racing. And what a Saturday we have in store. It's the St Ledger at Doncaster. It's the Irish Champion Stakes at Leopardstown. Two cracking supporting cards there. We've also got action at Bath and Chester and Lingfield and Musselburgh to look forward to on Saturday. So plenty to get your teeth stuck into. But we're going to focus on the Doncaster card. We will be looking at the Irish Champion Stakes shortly. But we're going to focus on Doncaster. And it's been a cracking week so far, hasn't it, Craig?
Yeah, it's been a very good start to the meeting the first 2 days. Alex has been very enjoyable. And it's hard to believe that here we are on the eve of the final classic of the flat season. Has the summer gone?
It's gone very quickly. And it's a bit chilly outside as well now, isn't it?
So yeah, it just seems like yesterday that Doncaster was starting with a Brocklesby. And the summer has just disappeared, you know, as it is. It's a fantastic flat programme, really, from where it starts, how the trials run into each other. Then the Guineas is on you right away. Then on with the Derby trials, into the Derby, Royal Ascot. Mm. Before you know it, it disappears.
It does. We're recording this before Friday's racing, before the third day of Doncaster's Ledger meeting. We don't know about the weather. As things stand, we've had no rain. We're based in Leeds, just up the road from Doncaster. But there is some forecast, isn't there, in the morning, which could just alter. The ground is currently good to firm in places. Could just be the easy side of good by the time that they come round to run the Ledger tomorrow.
Yeah, not a huge amount of rain forecast, but there is some dew between 6 and 10 in the morning, as you say, Alex. So it could just alter it on the away from good, with a little bit of good to soft. So particularly in the Portland handicap, when we'll have a look, we'll maybe put a couple of horses up there, ground dependent. One that, you know, appreciates slightly better ground, and one that would go well on a softer surface. So the other two selections hopefully aren't too ground dependent at Doncaster, but it looks set for a real cracking final day to the Ledger meeting.
It does. And similarly at Leopardstown, currently, which is 1 o'clock on Friday, good to firm in places. You'd expect that to be good to soft. It's going to be raining throughout Friday evening and into Saturday morning as well. So, incidentally, I have spoken to Andy Holding about that whole card, and that's available from the William Hill Audio Boom page as well. So make sure you give that a listen as well. Right, we'll dive straight into the action then, Craig. Normally, we'd have a chat about, you know, issues in racing and current news, but the racing's too good today, so I'd rather get your detailed views on some of these races. We'll start with the 2:35, which is the Portland handicap over the extended 5 furlongs. 22 runners down to go to post. Where on earth do we start with this cavalry charge, Craig?
Well, I think, Alex, what we've seen in the first 2 days of Doncaster on the straight track 5-6 furlong races is that high numbers and prominent runners have held a fair advantage. And I think that could be a good starting point for the Portland handicap. And there's two horses drawn in high numbers. But I do think, you know, they want different going conditions. So if Doncaster does escape the rain, or there's very little rain falls and we race on at least good ground, I think that Highland Acclaim has to be very high up the shortlist. He's drawn 13, and David O'Mara looks to have brought him back to something like his best. On his penultimate run at York, he finished a real good second, and he was the only horse really to make up any substantial ground from the rear in that race. Caspian Prince made all to win. Caspian Prince was due to take his chance in this race, but he's already a non-runner. But Highland Claim was a big eye-catcher the way he finished at Ascot last time. He was eventually disqualified after finishing eighth, after the jockey failed to weigh in properly. I think the ground went against them on that. Good to soft was the official description. I think it was riding just a little bit softer. And Highland Acclaim is a horse that is definitely going to be better on a sounder surface. There's no doubt he remains extremely well handicapped. David O'Mara, you know, he's a dab hand, really, at bringing horses back. And if Highland Acclaim can reproduce his effort that we've seen at York two starts back, he's going to go real close here. But keep an eye on the weather with him. He, you know, he would be of much less interest on a softer surface.
Okay. I said 22 runners, of course, 21 currently with Caspian Prince, the non-runner. You mentioned the draw. Recent years, it has paid to be drawn high, hasn't it? If we go back to 2007, reading upwards, drawn 21, 18, 16, 7, 15, 21, 12 and 15. They're the winners in the last, how many years is that? 8 years.
Yeah.
So going on that, you know, it would suggest, firstly, a double-figure stall is preferable, which rolls out half the field. It's not a bad starting place, is it?
It's a good starting place, Alex. And the other horse I like has also got a nice high draw. I think this horse will appreciate some rain now. Lucky Beggar is the horse of Charles Hills. I thought he was another to travel extremely well in that York contest. I do think that was a good race, and you know, I think it holds the key to this race for the Portland on Saturday.
He's been knocking on the door, hasn't he?
He has. You know, he did travel well. I just think he just failed to pick up last time. He was slightly disappointing with his finishing effort, but it could be that he just really wants to get his toe in now and wants genuine soft ground. And he's got a perfect pitch here in stall 19. He's fallen down the weights. The handicap has dropped him another £2 to a mark of 96. You know, he's been racing off marks in, you know, mid-100, 106 to 108 at his peak. So he is extremely well handicapped nowadays with a perfect draw. And if there is, you know, he's the one to be with if the weather does turn and we see a significant going change.
Okay.
Highland Acclaim, you know, would be the preferential pick on decent ground. But should we get any significant rainfall and the ground changes, then Lucky Beggar would become of real interest.
Okay, fair enough. Right, we'll move on to the 3:10 then. It's a Group 2 contest. The Park Stakes of 7 furlongs, 15 of them going to post for this one. Not the easiest race to call this one, Craig. We've got some classy types in there, the likes of Limato, who, despite the fact that this season he's lost his unbeaten record, he still hasn't done a great deal wrong. You've got Godolphin with a couple of runners in there that are going to be popular. Home of the Brave, of course, for Hugo Palmer. He's a very nice type. And then you've got the likes of Ivorwood, who has really disappointed this season, but if bouncing back to his best, would be winning this. And then you've got the more exposed types up at the top, the older horses, the likes of Breton Rock, who's sort of been there and done that. And put them all together, it adds up to be quite an interesting race, this.
It is, Alex. And, you know, here at William Hill, we've already got early prices on this race. And I'm surprised to see Safety Check as the 4-1 market leader. You know, he ran okay on his return from Maidan at Goodwood in July. He wasn't bashed about in the closing stages, but Code Red was ended up only a length behind Safety Check on that occasion. And Safety Check's 4-1 here and Code Red 16-1. And there wasn't an awful lot between them. Safety Check may come on for his first start since February at Goodwood, but I just thought he was put in a little bit too short. I didn't think his form back on the turf at Goodwood was, you know, warranting such a short quarter at a 4-1 here. Next then is Limato. I think we know what we're going to get from Limato. He's a very consistent performer, but you have to think he's probably peaked. He isn't open to an awful lot of improvement from where he stands, his form stands at the moment. He's been consistent. I mean, he ran a real good race in the Commonwealth Cup, a race that's worked out well. Obviously, the winner went on to win the July Cup, beating older horses, and he did run well. But, you know, he's another one that appears to be a little bit ground-dependent and would probably want it to be a little bit faster, Limato. And I think there's a few open to a little bit more progress.
Just going back to Limato, just quickly. I know you'd look at its form and you'd go, well, hang on, one is first five races and then second twice. But he is still progressing, isn't he? I mean, if you go through the type of race he's been running in, won a maiden, won novice stakes, won a listed contest, won another listed contest, won a group three, second in a group two and second in a group one.
Yeah.
He's still going the right way and surely he's a knock in each way bet here. No?
He should be, yeah. He's probably the one you would want to benchmark the race around after it.
Yeah.
Because he should give his running. And as you said, yeah, I can definitely see him hitting the frame, but I just think there's one horse in particular that I certainly think we haven't seen the best of yet.
Go on then.
Home of the Brave.
Okay.
Real good performance at the Curragh last time. You know, he went a decent gallop out in front, you know, looked early on visually that he was getting his own way. He was getting the run of the race. But you go back and do the sectionals from that race, Alex, and he set a fair early gallop and he quickened off an impressive style to come clear of Gordon Lord Byron on that occasion. And like I said, the overall time of the race was very good. And you look at his profile this year. He bolted up in the free handicap at Newmarket on his return off a mark of 102. Was slightly disappointing behind Glen Eagles in the Guineas. He was another one to go to the Commonwealth Cup. He finished sixth on that occasion. But at the Curragh last time, we've seen real improvement from Home of the Brave. And he is a big, scopey son of Star Spangled Banner. I think there's more to come from him. I mean, obviously, you know, he's going to face competition for the lead in the early part here, but I don't think he's finished improving, and he's one I want to keep on side here.
Okay, fair enough. Just looking into James Doyle here, because obviously he's ridden quite a few of these in recent weeks, not least Home of the Brave, of course, he was on that over at the Curragh. He rides at Chester tomorrow, and he's only got one ride for Godolphin, which is Secret Number in the listed event at 250. Just interesting, isn't it? It provides opportunities for other jockeys who maybe wouldn't have. I mean, obviously, we know that you've got the likes of Jamie Spencer, Frankie Dettori over at Leopardstown. That'll open up a few opportunities. When you've got all this good racing at once, someone's going to have to take a chance, aren't they?
And Graham Lee gets the leg up on Lightning Moon. Godolphin, I suppose, at second string, but he was a useful 3-year-old last year, wasn't he? And he's only had the one start on his return in a Group 2 at York. And, you know, he's another one that is open to progress, but don't really know how good Lightning Moon is yet.
Similarly, Lamato has been ridden on his last six starts, by James Doyle 4 times and Graham Lee 2 times. And it's had Zany on board today.
Yeah, and Zany, he does ride Doncaster very well.
He does. Certainly isn't a bad thing.
Yeah,
same with Harry Bentley on Home of the Brave. You know, it's not that much of a step down from James Doyle, if any at all. It's just interesting to see the jockey merry-go-round.
Yeah. And Home of the Braids, he's a very uncomplicated horse, isn't he? He'll be set off and he'll be ridden prominently. So hopefully he'll be out the way of any trouble.
Hopefully, yeah. Okay, we'll move on to the Ledger at 3:45. The St Ledger, a Group 1 of the extended mile and 6-furlong trip. Now, breaking news as we record this, by the time you listen to this, it'll be old news, I suppose, but Order of St George will not run, which means that there's only 7 runners now. And that is a bit of a blow, I suppose, firstly for the each-way punters, because we've only got 7 runners now. But many people will now see this as a two-horse race between Storm the Stars and Bondi Beach. Of course, they met at York in a very, very close finish indeed. Do you make it between those two, Craig, or is there a lurker?
I don't, to be honest. I think there's 4 were realistic chances.
Okay.
Alec. We'll start in race card order. Bondi Beach is probably the least exposed in the field. He represents Aidan O'Brien, one of 2 runners left for Aidan. And he was slightly unlucky, wasn't he, at York, because Storm the Stars drifted across the track and carried him across. Did it make a difference to the result, being beaten half a length? Quite possibly. Was it enough to turn it around? The stewards decided it wasn't. But Bondi Beach is still open to some improvement. And Storm the Stars has had a very tough season. So I can definitely see Bondi Beach reversing York form with Storm the Stars, although Willie Haggis's runner should improve for the step up and trip as well. But, you know, is this a race too many? He's had a long, hard season, and it could well prove just one too many. I think the pick of the 2 Aidan O'Brien runners, to be honest, is Fields of Athenry.
Okay.
You know, I thought he did well in the Ebor, considering he went for home some way out on that occasion. And he hit the front too soon, didn't he? He got there far too soon. And, you know, back in a smaller field, I think will really suit Fields of Athenry. And he's another one that's still be improving. And of the 2 Aidan O'Brien runners, he's the one that catches my eye. Storm the Stars, further down, is the 3rd main contender here. You know, as we discussed, he won the Great Voltinger at York, drifting across late on. He's done nothing but improve all year. And, you know, ever since his Chester run, when he finished 2nd in the Chester Vars, people, you know, were talking him up as a ledger horse at that early stage of the season. But he has had a tough old year. You know, he did win a listed race at Goodwood, finished third in the Derby, went to the Irish Derby, finished second to Jack Hobbs, then across to France, and finished off with a win at York last time. It could just be one too many for Storm the Stars. And let's not forget the filly down the bottom, Simple Verse. You know, crept in here. Connections have paid the money to enter this filly by Duke of Marmalade. Ralph Beckett, of course, had a filly that finished second in, was it 2013, Talent?
Yeah.
In this race. Open to a lot of progress, and, you know, I think she'll run well.
Okay.
But at these prices, what we're seeing now, and with Order of St. George out, Fields of Athen Rye would be my selection at 4-1 with Sylvester D'Souza up.
Okay, D'Souza rides that, and it's Bewick on Bondi Beach, another case of jockeys just picking up rides here and there. Just one I'm going to throw at you, Craig, and it's a shame that we've only got the seven runners now, because the each-way value does go. Medrano has very much been aimed at this race all year. It's always been, you know, the aim. Slightly less fashionable yards with David Brown. Was beaten out of sight at York last time, which would be a huge issue. But the fact that this has been the target all along, big price, if nothing else. Any chance for Medrano?
Connections will be doing a rain dance tonight,
right,
Alex, for the source. They will be doing a rain dance, because you look at his best performance this year, which came at Hamilton in the Glasgow Stakes, and he seemed to relish the soft ground. He galloped his rivals into the ground on that occasion. He wasn't, I didn't think, given the best of rides at Goodwood, to be honest. He was wide, he was off the pace, and it didn't suit the way he was ridden on that occasion, and I'm happy to forgive that run. But you have to say he was disappointing at York last time. And he's a horse that, you know, he can probably outrun his odds, but would that be good enough to win a St. Ledger?
No. That's probably the point I'm
making. If he is, he's going to need real good soft ground.
Right.
He will need soft ground if he's to throw up a surprise here.
Okay. Right then, we'll hop on a plane and we'll go over to Leopardstown for the Irish Champion Stakes. A Group 1 over a mile and two coming up at 5:45. And what a race we have in store here. Eight runners down to go to post. As things stand, all of them are in. Whether they all stay in is another matter. We've got Sirius de Zegler, Free Eagle, The Grey Gatsby, Glen Eagles, Golden Horn, Highland Reel, Found and Placecock. Ground concerns about a couple of these. So it may be that one or two of them are pulled out. But with that in mind, Craig, what do you fancy in what is an absolutely superb race?
It is. And I'm going to stick with Free Eagle.
Okay.
You know, he was very, very impressive when he won the Prince of Wales at Ascot, beating the Grey Gatsby. I think the Grey Gatsby, for me, is a horse that needs good, fast ground now. His best two performances this year have come on a fast surface. But, you know, I think his best performance was definitely when he finished second and got within a short head of Free Eagle. He was unlucky at Ascot, but he relished, you know, coming off bouncing off a quick surface that day. Conditions turned against him in the Gin Monte last time. He was given quite a bit to do, and he just didn't pick up on rain, soft, and ground. And I do, at best, it's going to be good to soft, isn't it, on Saturday at Leopardstown. And I think the ground will be against the Grey Gatsby. I think Free Eagles by High Chaparral got a decent bit of knee action. I think there's every chance or every hope that he will handle softer ground. And I love Golden Horn. You know, he's had a spectacular season. But after what I seen at York, I could not back this horse to bounce back at this stage of the season.
No, I agree.
I thought he was a horse crying enough and was just on his way over the top for the year. I just couldn't back him at 15-8 to bounce back in this race. He, you know, as I said, what a season. After winning a listed race at Newmarket, a really impressive winner of the Dantley at York, a really impressive winner and a real quick time at Epsom winning the Derby. Then won the Eclipse at Sandown. But for the first time, he was keen, he was buzzy, and he didn't pick up at York.
You could let him win at the price.
Yeah, Group 1 races have probably just taken enough out of him. And 24 days on from York, you know.
And beaten as well by Arabian Queen, who, with all due respect, is not of the calibre of the horses that he's up against today.
Yeah, and the main market rivals disappointed. The Grey Gatsby found the ground against them, and Time Test was a bit of disappointment.
Yeah.
You know, he was the horse that I really fancied going into the York race, but he was a bit of disappointment. So at 15-8, I would have to let Golden Horn run here.
Free Eagle, you know, very, very lightly used, shall we say, by Dermot Weld.
Yes.
Doesn't run very often, and when he does, you know that that's been the target for a while, and he'll be nice and fresh.
He's such a good horse, isn't he? And, you know, he wouldn't be reappearing here if everything wasn't in his favour and hadn't been shown positive signs at home, because he hasn't stood a lot of racing. He's clearly had his problems, but when we have seen him on the track, he's been good. And you look back to last year, Alex, when he returned at Leopardstown, and he won very well in September. He only had a month before he reappeared at Ascot, finishing third. And that may have come too quick for this horse. Mm. This time he's had 87 days to recover from Royal Ascot. So there's every chance to think that he'll be at his best once again. And if he is, he'll be difficult to beat.
Hopefully we get a decent amount of runners. Hopefully there's not too many absentees. I know Glen Eagles is perhaps a doubt on the ground.
Major doubt, you have to think.
And there's a few others that are sort of potentially absentees, but hopefully we get a decent turnout, because that should be an absolute cracker. So a fantastic day's racing on Saturday. We've done four races. There's so many more that you could go at. As I said, if you want to hear thoughts on the Leopardstown card, give Andy Holding's podcast a listen. But thank you very much, Craig. Best luck with your picks on Saturday, and enjoy all of the action.
Yeah, thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.